That's why we're here this Sabbath, just to contemplate in your name. May the power from your name touch us. May the sharing of the good news from your name bless us. Speak in us, through us, with us, or in spite of us, that your people may be blessed through your voice. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I entitled the sermon this morning, "The Sprouting Seed of Faith Lead to Spiritual Maturity." Some of you may familiarize with Dr. Sean Pauline. He's the professor at the Andrews University Seminary, chairman of the New Testament Department. He wrote a book called "The Present Truth in the Real World." Present Truth in the Real World. He addressed the issues, the problems that are affecting the Adventist Church and the Christian Church. According to Dr. John Pauline, it is a secularization that has clipped the church's wings so that it works against itself. Secularization's grip in the church creates different perspective and dwarf or hindrance the purpose and the moving of the church. He observed faithful, believing Christians move from deep spiritual commitments to secular detachment. Why? Secularization problem did not happen overnight, but it was a long process affect the spiritual growth of the believers. He called this process a secular drift. One of the reasons that, according to Professor Pauline, secular drift influenced the church is because of a scientific perspective about truth and reality. I quote, "The main difference between religion and science is the difference between truth and reality. Because they were raised in scientific world, secular people see no difference between the two." He continues, "Truth and reality are the same thing to the secular people." "And what is reality?" he asked. "To the secular person, reality is what 5 senses can perceive." Dawkins was talking about perceptions. Try to come up and understand what's truth and what's reality. But according to the secular mind, to secular person, reality is what 5 senses can perceive. What we see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. That's how we can perceive reality, according to the secular mind. But for Christians, we believe that truth is bigger than sense reality. We believe there are other realities that transcend human senses. Paul draw the distinguish here that the secular people will look at their human predicaments through human senses and human ideas. They try to understand reality through how the mind perceives and understands through their experiments, observations. But for Christians, we go beyond that. It's faith and experiencing of God's presence makes the difference. The sermon this morning, "The Sprouting Seed of Faith Lead to Spiritual Maturity." What John Pauline alluded to is a problem grip into the Christian church is exactly what the Apostle Paul saw and experienced in the church in Corinthians. If you take a moment with me, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here is Apostle Paul in chapter 1 verse 3. The Apostle Paul addressed the problem in the church in Corinthians by saying to them in verse 1, I could not address you as a spiritual but a worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. I spent some time to look and meditate. Other Bible scholars says, other translation says that you are not spiritually mature. You are men of flesh. Men made of flesh, or men dominate by the flesh. Paul is addressing the spiritual conditions of the church in Corinthians. You are not growing mature in your faith, in your beliefs. Therefore, you deserve that I will give you food so you will grow gradually into maturity in your faith. The problem with Corinthians was that they were not growing spiritually. But they were very infant in Christ, reflecting worldly perspective. Could it be that our church and our church family, could be we can also be affected with the problems of the Corinthians? We have different perspectives because of the influence from the secular community. A story illustrates the point. Little Benjamin sat at a table, write a letter to God asking for a little sister, a baby sister. He started the first letter like this. Dear God, I've been a very good boy. He stopped and think. And he said to himself, no, God will not believe that. Scramble the first letter and throw in the trash. Pull up a new one and start writing again. Dear God, most of the time I have been a good boy. He stopped in the middle of the line and think. And he said to himself, God won't be moved by this. He scrambled the second letter and threw in the trash. He went to the bathroom and grabbed a towel from the towel rack, took it with him to the living room, and lay flat on a couch. And then little Benjamin went over to the fire mantle where the statue of the Madonna. He always noticed his mother carefully dust the statue and told him, you can look, but never ever touch the statue. At this time, little Benjamin carefully lift the statue, bring it down, lay it right in the center of the towel, fold it up, and wrap it around with a rubber band. He brought it with him, set it on the side of the desk, pull up another paper, and start writing the letter. And here how it goes. Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again, I want you to give me a baby sister. Little Benjamin experience illustrates our spiritual immaturity and how infants we are as we come to God using in our worldly perspective. As I was studying and looking at that book that Dr. John Pauline was explaining, defining the problems in the church, he gave out six warning signs to look out for us to as a red flags to a secular drift in a person's spiritual growth. And here are the six signs that we need to watch out. Prayer life is the first thing to go out through the window. If you feel like you don't have the urge and a desire to study, watch out. The second sign we need to watch out: your interest to study the Bible, and you feel you have less and less personal significance, impact of the Bible in your life. You may read the Bible, and the Bible seems no interest. You never feel the experience, the changing power to impact your life. Watch out for that. The first sign we need to watch out, a road to secular drift: personal standard of behaviors begin to slip. According to Professor Pauline, pastors have discovered that when a person has believed for a long time that a particular action is wrong and suddenly act in contrary manner, it tends to be a red flag that scream out, "I am in spiritual trouble." And the fourth sign we need to watch out: decrease in church attendance. He's not talking about visiting other churches. He's talking about people have no desire to come and fellowship. You withdraw from the fellowship of the fellow believers. Watch out for that. That could be a sign that we are slowly drift into a secular attractions. The fifth one: begin to doubt Bible itself, doubt the afterlife, even doubt the reality of God. And the last, sixth one: the increasing distrust of institutions. This is a lack of loyalty to religion institutions of any kind. Those are the signs that we need to watch out. That's a sign that we may have drifted away from the base and from the center of our commitments to Jesus Christ. If I ask this question, how many of you have experienced at least one or two of these signs in your spiritual walk with the Lord? I have to make a confession. I have been confronted almost every day through this list. Do you know why? Because these are the characteristics of the human nature within us. We can easily draw to the secular attractions, resist our basic need of coming to Jesus Christ, and draw so we can grow spiritually. Wonder why Paul wrote Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 24. "I know that there is nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have desired to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin lives in me that does it." And verse 24, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of sins?" And the following text: "But thanks be to God that I have Jesus Christ." It's so easy to be drifted away from our spiritual walk with the Lord. Not only we have a carnal nature, but that is what the devil is putting in our way. The questions I would like to ask this morning: how can we grow spiritually mature in our faith? How would we become mature in our Christian walk, in our love for Jesus? Interestingly, in chapter 3, Paul used three analogies to suggest how to grow spiritually mature. The first one is the analogy of a mother-child relationship. If you look at verse 2, Paul, Apostle Paul says to the Church of Corinthians, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. To have a spiritual experience, we start with our total dependence to God. Mother-child relationship. A baby totally depends on his mother for nourishment, comfort, safety, and even character building. The medical report, I checked that out, says this, that the breast milk is the perfect source of nutrients for infants. Breast milk contains appropriate amount of carbohydrates, proteins, fats. It also provides digestive enzymes, materials, and hormones that all infants require. Breast milk contains valuable antibodies from the mothers that may help the baby resist infections. Wonder why Paul appealed to the Church of Corinthians to draw a parallel of a mother-child relationship. I will give thee milk because it has enough in nutrients. Basic nutrients to start our spiritual experience with God. When Jesus, after he was baptized, he was taken into the wilderness to be tempted. He spent times fasting, meditating, praying. At the end of his fasting, as we know, the devil came by and said to him, if you are the Son of God, turn this rock into what? Into bread. Do you know what Jesus said to the devil? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Talking about mother-child relationship, Jesus demonstrates a total dependence on his relationship to his Father. Simple, but it's so important because the early stage of a child determines his or her character. The devil tempted him again, but Jesus said, do not doubt God. Jesus responded to the devil, you worship him alone. He deserved our worship. Start our spiritual journey. Grow spiritually. Demonstrate our total dependence on the Father. For strength, for power, and for deliverance. I was so impressed, stopping at the church, seeing our children excited, singing, and praising the Lord with the teachers during the VBS week. My children would come home and say, Daddy, when will you take us to church? They were motivated. They were excited to sing as they catch the ball as the teacher tossing. It's their way of praising the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, my church, my family, we need to grow spiritually. But we need
that total dependence, like a mother-child relationship, fully dependence on the Father.
He also suggests to the church in Corinthians, if you look at verse 5 and verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I read it for us. What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servant through whom you come to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollo watered it, but God makes it grow. If you look at the context, Paul submit to the church of Corinthians. In order for us to grow spiritually to God, we need to come in partnership with God, and we can grow in a relationship with Him. Here we have the experience of creating a wonderful garden. Before us toss the seed, the field needs to be cultivated. Is that right? The scripture says, you are the field of God. You are God's field. You are God's workman. To see a spiritual growth in our hearts, we have a responsibility to do. We need to cultivate the field so the seed of truth will grow into the likeness of His glory. Interesting, if you observe the passage, the analogy of seed and growing, it always implies it requires die, humility. Chapter 12 of book of John, verse 24. I tell you the truth, unless the kernel of the seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. In order for a seed to grow, it requires to rotten and die. You need to be buried in the ground, submerged with the help of the water. Water represents baptism. What is Paul up to when he recommends Corinthians? You need to be partnership with God. Let yourself be broken down so God will make it grow according to His likeness. Romans chapter 4, 6 verse 4. I buried with Christ in baptism into His death, and what I was raised from the dead to the glory, so we may live a new life. God makes it grow, but it requires us to die daily in our walk with Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Spiritual maturity becomes to become partnership with God in order to grow in His in relationship with Him. We have a little garden in our house, in front of our house. It used to be filled with ivies. It looks horrible. So my wife convinced me to pull out the ivies, pull out some of the poking plants in there. I follow her lead, remove all the ivies, cultivate it. We went to Home Depot, bought some plants and planted. We water it. How wonderful to see them grow and bear flowers. Yesterday, my girls went out and picked flowers, and they
sow lays of flowers. We can enjoy the beauty of God when we cultivate our hearts. Let the seed of the truth germinate, because God longing to let it grow.
My family, this morning, not only we need to total depend on the father, mother-child relationship, but we need to be partnership with God. We need to be broken up, broken down, so God will do something in us, with us, or in spite of us. Paul says, you need to grow. Secular ideas floating into the church, into the family of God. How can we stand unless we have a mother-child relationship? Unless we keep on cultivating our hearts, so the seed of truth rooted and grow and have a great harvest for the Lord. A story was told. Tori Matthew, she was Southern California Humane Society officer, respond to an emergency call from a little boy. The little boy's iguana was scared up on a tree by the neighbor's dog. So the iguana went up to the tree, fell off the tree, and right into the pool. When Tori Matthew arrived, the little boy was so in trouble. Instead of using the net, she dove in the pool and picked up the feeble animal. She said to herself, I normally give CPR to people and dogs. Why not the iguana? She gave the CPR to the iguana. Her feeble work was rewarded. She did not recognize that we may never see the beauty in some people, but when we realize how much they mean to God, we'll do what we can do to keep them from drowning. Tori Matthew did not see the iguana. She saw the little boy would be broken down in tears if the iguana would lost its life. My family, this morning, when we partnership with God, we experience some difficulties in times. We feel broken down, but God will come down to take us up, remind us, keep on, don't quit. Not only that, the Apostle Paul remind that we need to cultivate our heart, be broken down, and let Jesus, let the power of God, brought forth a new life. But in chapter 3, verse 10, I will read it for us. By the grace of God has given me, I lay a foundation, an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how to build. Paul used the illustration or the analogy of a builder. God requires us to build our house, build the building. But you have to know, Jesus has to be the foundations of your building. He appears to us, we must to be strong and be steady. When the flood, when the wind, when the rain comes, when your life goes through trials, would you able to stand? When we build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, we shall be able to stand trials and temptations comes in our way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock of Jesus Christ. My family, this morning, to build your house upon the rock, according to the text, we should be a doer of the word, not just a listening of the word. How to build yourself, make yourself grow spiritually mature? You must be the doer of the word. Build on the rock of Jesus Christ. Whatever comes in our way, we know, not through our senses, but through our faith experience in our relationship with Jesus. I would like to submit to you, my family, this morning, for us to grow spiritually strong, to grow spiritually mature, we need that mother-child relationship, total dependence upon Him. We need to have to be partnership with God. Let ourselves be broken so that we can grow in our relationship with Him. And lastly, when we build our house, not with our human achievements, but build on a solid rock of Jesus Christ, we will be able, even though secular ideas will float into the church, nothing will sway us, because you know who you stand for. We are spiritually mature in the love and the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. May God bless us as we celebrate the Sabbath. Let it be our goal to grow steady in our spiritual walk with Jesus. Father God in heaven, there is nothing else we can have in order to withstand temptation unless we grow spiritually mature in Christ. Allow us, dear Lord, to have a fully dependence on you. Allow us to be broken so we can grow into a new life. But most of all, help us to build our walk on a solid ground of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.